We had a seminar a few years back about the mystery of Christ, in which we had 6 hours of teaching about what it was and where it came from and how it differs from prophecy and that sort of thing. And we concluded the seminar saying the mystery of Christ was the most important doctrine the church can learn and understand. And knowing full well that last year's seminar was pretty good, it was about the preaching of the cross. And we saw that as the most important thing that anyone can understand. Well, the mystery of Christ concerns the preaching of the cross. A lot of people, in fact, everyone who is saved by the preaching of the cross, by trusting Christ's finished work on the cross for their sin payment in their life, they understand the verses that undergird the mystery of Christ. They just don't call it that. Okay? They're putting their trust in Pauline scriptures, even though they don't know how to rightly divide it, if they're saved by the gospel that saves them. Okay? So you're dealing with people, hopefully, that are saved already with the gospel, and you start to talk about the mystery of Christ, and they don't know what you're talking about. Because it has to do with that right division principle, with understanding where that gospel is found that you trusted for your salvation, and why it's there and not in those Old Testament books. Why is it not in prophecy? Why was it not taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And so that's where an understanding of the mystery of Christ comes in, and I want to make that clear this morning. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, when God gave to Israel the law program, I mentioned this morning that God gave Israel His truth, His law, His instructions, His intervention, His purpose. And so it wasn't all Israel's fault, it wasn't all their bad, let me say it that way. When God offered to them a contract in which if they obeyed Him, He would give them the law. Okay. From our perspective, knowing that the law is the knowledge of sin and none of us can keep the law and do works of righteousness, we think that's a horrible contract to make. You just forget that, God. You have to do it by grace, if at all. But Israel was confronted with this blessing, this gift of God's Word. Before the law, where do we find God's Word? Okay, God said, I will give you my words, my prophets. I will tell you what to do and how to live. That is a great thing. And so when God made that contract with Israel in the Old Testament, He was promising to give them His Word if they would keep it. And of course, that was the flaw. God, of course, never intended for Israel to keep the law. He gave it to them so that He can teach them the truth that they can't do righteousness and they need Him to save them. But Deuteronomy 29 is a fascinating chapter because after God gives Israel the law in Deuteronomy, chapter 29 predicts, it prophesies that they're going to break it. I mean, when they made the contract, God knew they were going to break it. And so Deuteronomy 29, along with Leviticus 26, describes Israel's future history, if that makes sense. And Deuteronomy 29 says they're going to break the covenant. But even when they break the covenant, God will keep His promise and will bring them back to the land and give them the inheritance and all that sort of thing. And in verse 29, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. The future, what will happen and what God will do and how God will accomplish His promise made to Abraham, even though He's made a covenant with Israel now. The secret things belong to Him. We need to trust Him with the secret things. In fact, God does know all secrets in the universe. A lot of people think that Christianity and faith in the Bible is anti-intellectual and that faith is a crutch because when we feel like we don't know, we just trust God, you know, and go on with life with that. And actually, believing in the God of the Bible is believing in the one who has the secrets and understands the mysteries of all things in science, in philosophy, in economics, in anything. God knows the mysteries. He set it up. He created it. He knows what's going on. There used to be a time when the most intelligent people say, I have to believe in God. He's the one that knows how this works. And so they're appealing to God and His understanding of everything. Okay? Understanding that He knows the secret things. Now look at Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. It says, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Once God speaks His word, reveals His secrets, reveals the mysteries, now it's for us to learn, to know, to study. And so God has, by Deuteronomy 29, revealed His law, and now it's for Israel, specifically in the context, for them to learn, to know, and understand. Well, this isn't the only time where God revealed His word. We see there's a lot more Bible after Deuteronomy 29, and God spoke through prophets, He spoke through His Son and His earthly ministry to Israel, and He spoke through Paul revealing the mystery of Christ. And so it's for us to be stewards of that mystery. Look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 18. God knows the secret things of the universe, and He has in His mind the purpose, the hidden wisdom of how He will accomplish salvation for the world. We have the privilege, after having God's Word completely revealed, and with the mystery of Christ, to understand how God can accomplish that. back in Daniel. Now, I'm going to Deuteronomy 29 and Daniel 2, not to put you in this context, but just to explain something about God here. We can learn things about God in every page of the Bible. It doesn't mean what God says in every page of the Bible is for your obedience, for your instruction. But Daniel 2, Daniel was a worshiper of God. And of course, in Daniel 2, you all know the story. He was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and carried off to Babylon. And he was considered in Babylon because of the wisdom that God taught him and the powers that God gave him to be a wise man, even in his young age. So in Daniel chapter 2, verse 18, this chapter, of course, is where Nebuchadnezzar has the dream, and is asking all of his soothsayers and all of his prophets there to tell him the meaning of the dream, and they don't know what he's talking about. And so he threatens to kill them all. And of course, Daniel is given the opportunity to save his colleagues here by giving the meaning of this dream. So in Daniel 2:18, Daniel goes to his roommates here, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, all otherwise known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in verse 18, he went to them, they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And so Daniel has the privilege of having a covenant with the God that knows all secret things and knows the dream Nebuchadnezzar has and couldn't possibly know if it was God-given why he gave it. So what a privilege Daniel has instead of turning to these soothsayers. And so in verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So God revealed it to Daniel in a dream, in a vision. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings, sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. There's nothing hid from God's eyes. He has all understanding. He is what they call in theological circles omniscient. He knows all things. And he is the source of all truth and wisdom. Okay, quite an advantage to have for those of us who worship the God and have his preserved revealed word in front of us to study. Okay. Now, I'm just using this Daniel 2:18-22 to, again, explain that God is the keeper of these secret things and is able to reveal them to whom he wants. And we see throughout the Bible, God has revealed them to people. The most important mystery in the Bible is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. In Ephesians chapter 3. I'm starting out this explanation of what the mysteries are because that word mystery isn't something just found in Paul's epistles. And when you talk to people about the mystery, most of them will just glaze their eyes over. But you will meet people sometimes who study the Bible and read the Bible, perhaps your friends, you being Bible students as well, and you'll mention the mystery, and they'll look in their concordance, they'll look up in the Bible and find that they find the word mystery in other places in the Bible as well. But the most important mystery that we can know is given to Paul in Ephesians 3, verse 1 and 2, where Paul says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation. That word is not a scary word. It doesn't have a lot of baggage to it. It simply means God has dispensed, he's revealed, he's given something to him. Right? He says it's the dispensation of the grace of God. It has to do with a body of information about God's grace, which is given me to you Gentiles, verse 1. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. So again, there's a secret thing here that God did not reveal. On the top of your outline is Romans 16:25, another good verse to introduce someone to God's mystery, the mystery of Christ, when it says that Paul preaches Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Now, he's not talking about the mystery revealed in Deuteronomy 29 under the law program. He's not talking about the mystery of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He's talking about the mystery of Christ given to him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. As I wrote, he says, afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. What Daniel was given as a mystery of God was Nebuchadnezzar's dream. What Moses was given as a secret thing of God was the law, was his 613 statutes, right? What Paul was given by God was the mystery of Christ, of salvation for all men. Okay, and so we're asking the question this morning, what is that? What is exactly the mystery? What is this thing that Paul's been given? Now, we learned a couple weeks ago, I know we skipped a week last week, but we have to think real hard back to 2 weeks ago, where we learned about how we know Jesus Christ. And we don't know him, Paul says, according to the flesh. We know him according to the mystery, right? So again, the question we're asking this morning is, what is this mystery? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. You have in that tract that I handed out, which will be made available more in the back table this week as I print more out, in that tract is point number 3 on your outline, which is just the simple details of the verses talking about Paul's mystery. But what I want to cover before that, for your benefit right now, is if you happen to talk to someone about the mystery, and they respond to you, well, Paul didn't teach anything different. Paul's teaching the same thing as we find in Jesus' ministry as in the Old Testament. There's many mysteries in the Bible. You need to be equipped to understand that there are many mysteries in the Bible. But what we're talking about regarding right division is the mystery of Christ given to Paul. Okay, that's how we're going to rightly divide. But 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, Paul even says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." You see that? It says mysteries. More than one mystery there. There's mysteries. We have God's entire word here. We just read in Deuteronomy 29, there were secret things of God revealed. We learned in Daniel 2 that there were secret things of God revealed. We learned in the prophets that there's things that God's revealed. We learned in Jesus Christ himself, when he came, he taught Israel. But we also know that mystery that God revealed to Paul. We have been given the stewardship of God's revealed word. And 1 Corinthians 4, 2 says, "Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful." What kind of stewards would we be if we're not faithful to read God's word, to study it, to rightly divide it, to teach it to other people, to faithful men who can teach others also? So 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 says there's mysteries of God and we're the stewards of them. So it's a very good thing that we know what they are. Just what does it mean? Give me the verse that tells me what the mystery of Christ is. That's what we're going to do this morning. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Look here. There's many things, many mysteries that you find in your Bible. You ever heard people say God works in mysterious ways? You ever heard this? People say this because they don't know how God works. And typically, God works in mysterious ways. The beauty of it is that God has revealed how he operates in time past. He revealed how he operates today. And so though God knows things that we don't, he has revealed things to us, and we as stewards would do well to know what they are, so we can know how God operates. Okay? In Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says that he desires to see these folks in Colossae, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father, and of Christ. Do you see that? There's mysteries right there. There's three of them. Mystery of God, mystery of the Father, mystery of Christ. We need to know what these mysteries are. Okay? Now, we're going to cover later just specifically that mystery of Christ, but there are many mysteries in your Bible. Look at Matthew 13, verse 11. This may be one that you had a verse quoted to you about the mystery, trying to show that Jesus and Paul thought the same thing. Well, they didn't. Because we're not just looking for the same word here. We're looking for the content. What is the mystery of Christ? What is that secret revealed? Matthew 13, verse 11. Verse 10, his disciples came to Jesus and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Now, if you've gone to an American seminary, they will tell you that Jesus spoke in parables as illustrations, as stories to help you understand better what he was teaching. Not so. Okay? A parable, by its very definition, is a riddle. It's a saying that is not easy to understand. That's why the disciples are asking him, "Why are you speaking in parables? Speak plainly." Right? Of course, Jesus says in verse 11, he answers and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you, believing disciples, believing remnant of Israel, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." You see that phrase, mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? Whoa, does this mean Paul and Jesus taught the same thing? Well, no. Jesus in his earthly ministry ministered to Israel about their kingdom coming down to earth from heaven. Paul was given information about God's rulership in heavenly places, about salvation of people who were not part of the earthly kingdom. We'll see that a little bit later. Acts 13:11 talks about a mystery of the kingdom. The mystery, if you want to study this one out, which is not our topic today, the mystery is that the kingdom will be delayed. All of Jesus' parables have the intent of communicating to believing Israel that there's going to be a delay. That the Messiah, though I am him, I'm going to leave and come back. How many parables do you hear in Jesus' ministry about a man going on a long journey and how the man goes away and comes back? He's communicating a principle to his disciples that I'm the Messiah, but I'm going to leave and I'm going to come back. There's going to be a delay here in the kingdom. Okay? A lot of people thought that when the Messiah comes, Jews even today think when the Messiah comes, sets up the kingdom now. Right? In fact, one of the reasons why the Jews do not believe Jesus was the Messiah is that he did not set up the kingdom now when he came. Right? Well, his parables, what he communicated to his disciples was that, though I'm the Messiah, I'm going away, I'm going to come back. If they would not have stumbled at Jesus Christ, but instead have believed his words, they would have understood that. You see, so there was an intent to that mystery, that secret, which was not known before. Okay, but it's not the mystery of Christ given to Paul. Look at Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Revelation 10, 7. We see here something called the mystery of God. We read about this in Colossians 2, 2, briefly, where Paul said that you may acknowledge the mystery of God. So, what's that? Words mean things, folks. And your Bible is very specific with its words. Revelation 10, verse 7 says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. That's interesting, because we've covered many times before that the mystery of Christ revealed to Paul was kept secret since the foundation of the world. Ephesians 3, verse 5 says, the prophets didn't know it. But in Revelation 10, verse 7, here's the mystery of God that is finished by the sounding of this seventh angel, as God declared to the servants of the prophets. You study the content of this mystery out, you find out that the mystery of God is the end of all prophecy. Okay? It's when God told the prophets that here's what the kingdom is going to be like, here's what's going to happen. Revelation describes how it happens. The mystery, the secret, how God will accomplish that thing. Okay? Remember back in Deuteronomy 29 when he said the secret things are God's, but those things that are revealed are ours? At that time, God hadn't revealed the book of Revelation yet. He hadn't revealed Daniel. He hadn't revealed all the other prophets. And this hasn't happened yet even. But when it does happen, everyone will know how God did it. Right? The mystery of God, according to prophecy, will be finished. Right? No more secrets, no more mystery, no more guessing the date and hour. Right? It's done, Revelation 10, 7. That is not the mystery of Christ kept secret from the prophets, kept secret since the world began. So there's a difference here. But again, we're trying to point out that there are many mysteries in the Bible, and the mystery of Christ is just the most important one. Okay? We'll do that in a moment. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. There is a mystery of the Father, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, that Paul alludes to in Colossians 2, 2, which has to do with Jesus Christ being God manifest in the flesh. You know, Jesus came and said, made various claims that he was God. And again, this is another troublesome thing for Jews even today, the claim that Jesus, a man in the flesh, was God, and that he accepted worship, and that he did things only God could do. That's not something that's easily accepted. Yet the mystery of the Father is when Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay? Jesus says, I am the image of the invisible God. Okay? There's a mystery in that. Okay? They didn't understand that in the Old Testament. They didn't get that. But when Jesus manifests himself, incarnates himself in the flesh, walks around, shows himself to be God, there's something that we can know now about the Father. It's that his image is Jesus Christ. He was manifest in the flesh. Ephesians 1, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, that's God's will, the Father's will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Well, I thought God was the all in all. I thought the Father, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, was the all in all. Here it says Christ is the all in all. It's the mystery of the Father. These three are one. Okay, look at Philippians 2, verse 9. Philippians 2, verse 9. We see here another explanation of this, where Jesus Christ receives all the glory. Well, I thought you can only glory God, Jehovah God, the Father. Philippians 2, verse 9 says, God also hath highly exalted him, Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. The Muslims and the Jews say, what heresy to say this man will be lifted up even above God. Well, what if he is God? Right? Philippians 2 verse 10 says, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Father gets glory. The Father's will is that in Christ all would bow. He's the one manifest in the flesh. Okay, so you have the mystery of the Father here where he gets glory through the Son, Romans 16:27. Look at 1 Timothy 3:16. Now, none of these are the point of this morning's lesson. So if you're going to forget anything, forget these. You can go back and refer to these later, okay? I know I'm going through these very quickly, but this is not the main point of this morning's lesson. I'm just showing you there are many mysteries in the Bible that really have nothing to do, that are not, let me say it that way, they're not the mystery of Christ, okay? People ask me sometimes, you know, well, these words, the mystery of Christ and the mystery is in the Bible. People read the Bible. There's commentaries about the Bible. What do they say the mystery of Christ is? This is what they say it is. Pick one of these. They make the mystery of Christ any one of these because they match the words up. So they make mystery of Christ the mystery of the kingdom, or the mystery of Christ manifest incarnate, right? Or the mystery of Christ, Revelation 10, the fulfillment of prophecy. They make it any of these things, which it is not. Okay? It's the purpose of the God of this world to hide the glorious gospel from people, and the way he does that, even with this word, the mystery, is to teach it as other mysteries. Okay? And so we need to be more discerning than the average person just looking up the words in their concordance. 1 Timothy 3:16. Paul says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Right? Now the first word after godliness there is God. A word only found in your King James Bible, by the way. Okay, so it doesn't say God was manifest in the flesh in other versions. But here it says, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Who is this talking about? Jesus. Talking about Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. The mystery of godliness is Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see that in 1 Timothy 3:16. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2. We've seen the God's manifestation in the flesh being the mystery of godliness. So what do you think the mystery of iniquity will be? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, where Paul says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. What a controversial verse this one is. And people study the day as long on this. You know, a pretty good guess on what this mystery is all about is Satan's manifestation in the flesh. If the mystery of godliness is God manifest in the flesh, the mystery of iniquity would be the devil, the wicked one, manifest in the flesh. You read the context and you see that. The Son of Man revealed, that wicked one who inhabits a man in Revelation, the Antichrist, right? And that sort of business. So I don't want to confuse you all with that thing. We'll move on to Romans 11:25. Look at Romans 11. There are many mysteries in your Bible. Don't get them confused with the mystery of Christ. There's a mystery here of Israel. About Israel. It has to do with their salvation. And this is going to be our introduction to what the mystery of Christ is. Where Paul, dealing with Israel in Romans 9:10-11, talks about what happened to the nation, to the people that God promised the kingdom come and the prophecy and everything else. What happened to these people? If Paul indeed is preaching this mystery of Christ as truth today, what happened to them and their promises? Romans 11:25, Paul says, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There's two things here that we can learn. And so it's going to be a good segue into our defining what the mystery of Christ is. One is that Israel's salvation has been postponed. Read in verse 26, that after the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, so all Israel shall be saved. Verse 27, this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, when all Israel is saved, after the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. But now, Paul says, Israel's blinded, verse 25, right? So we learn, Israel, their salvation, their kingdom come, their promises has been put on hold, postponed, parenthesis, however you want to say it. It's not happening. And yet, Paul is preaching Jesus Christ, is he not? I thought Jesus Christ was the Messiah promised to Israel. I thought Jesus Christ was the guy who walked around in Israel and Galilee and healed people, walked on water and that sort of thing. I thought that was Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ, as we learned 2 weeks ago, according to the flesh, according to Israel's program, right? According to their prophecies. There's a preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery given to Paul that he's communicating. And Romans 11:25 says that even when Israel is fallen, Even when Israel is blind and their prophecies are not in effect, we're preaching Jesus Christ. So we're preaching him a different way. Okay, we're preaching him according to a mystery not hitherto known before. Okay, and that's what we're going to be defining right now. We preach Jesus Christ, not merely the mystery. A lot of times we get caught up in our understanding of the mystery of Christ and we'll say, we're preaching the mystery here, we're learning the mystery, you know. Well, it's not just secrets and hidden wisdom and mysteries that we're preaching. The substance of this is Jesus Christ, folks. But it's Jesus Christ according to this understanding, this secret knowledge, this mystery here. It's not Jesus Christ according to the prophecies to Israel. Israel's been blinded. Israel's salvation is postponed. Now, we can read about Jesus according to those things, and we can show that he was the Messiah because of prophecy, and we can read the whole Bible, all scriptures for us. But we know Christ now in our relationship to him according to the mystery of Christ. Okay? So, let's look again at Romans 11, verse 11. As now we're going to define what the mystery of Christ is given to Paul, we start with Romans 11, 25 and Romans 11, 11. And that is where before, the way you knew Christ was through Israel as his king, as their leader, as their Messiah. We don't know him that way anymore. Okay, we know him now as our Savior. But Romans 11, 11 says, have they stumbled, the they there in the context is Israel. Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. And so we see here the fall of Israel, and at the same time, salvation going to Gentiles. Salvation by whom? Salvation through whom? Jesus Christ. So the mystery of Christ, number one, is to understand that Christ is not of Israel only. Right? Of course, he came to Israel. He ministered to Israel. He was prophesied in Israel's prophets. And yet now Paul's preaching Christ not of Israel. Israel is blind. Right? He's preaching salvation to Gentiles. He's preaching Christ to Gentiles. This is different. This is new. This was something that was not known. How this could happen. Okay? Look at Romans 11, 13. And it's not just that Christ is being preached to Gentiles. We learn also that it's Paul that was commissioned to do so. Romans 11, 13. Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And so Christ revealed the mystery of himself to Gentiles, to Paul. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Again, if you want to get commentary on this part of the lesson, please refer back to the tract that was handed out to you. It'll be an abbreviated form, an abridged edition of the lesson today, so you can go back and just read the words there. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says here, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. We don't preach Paul. We don't preach a mystery. We preach Jesus Christ. And we preach him according to the mystery given to Paul. Okay? That last part was only added on so we can distinguish between Christ according to prophecy and Christ according to mystery. Okay, well, we preach Jesus Christ. Galatians 1, 11 and 12, Paul says Jesus Christ revealed it to him. Galatians 1, 15. It says here, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son, Jesus Christ, in me, that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Again, we have Paul's commission here, where the mystery of Christ, we're saying, what is it? Where do we find it? Well, we know that it concerns Christ not being of Israel. We know also that it's found in Paul's epistles. It's Christ revealed to Paul. Okay? We saw in Galatians 1:15 that Paul said, he revealed his son in me. This is significant. This point of the mystery of Christ teaches us how to study God's word. If we don't know this, Christ revealed to Paul, then we're going to be looking at every verse in the Bible to explain the mystery of Christ, and it's not there. Okay? So this is just an arrow pointing us to where to find it. Okay, look at Ephesians 3, 1 through 4 once again, and we'll come to this passage multiple times today. The best teacher you have is repetition. In Ephesians 3, 1 through 4, Paul says, I am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He's not the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior for you Gentiles. the dispensation of the grace of God given to him, to us. By revelation, Christ made known unto me the mystery. So if Christ made known to Paul the mystery of himself, then we should probably read what Paul has to say about it. You think? So here we have an important part in studying the mystery of Christ. Now, you say, what is this mystery of Christ? Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. I'm really trying to refrain from my pet sayings, from my commentary, from my trying to explain. I'm trying to show us the verses that we can connect together to explain to us simply what the mystery of Christ is. Okay, Ephesians 6, verse 19. Paul says here, pray for me. He says, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Do you see that? He said in Ephesians 3, there's a mystery revealed to me by Jesus Christ. He says in Ephesians 6, 19, pray for me that I might speak boldly the mystery of the gospel. Apparently, the mystery of Christ concerns the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. Okay, well, this is significant. Because, again, we see Paul explaining the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, Romans chapter 1. The mystery of Christ concerns the gospel. Ephesians 6, 19. He's trying to make known the mystery of the gospel. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 9, 17. We saw in Ephesians 3 that Paul said a dispensation of God's grace was given to me. It was a mystery, is what he says in Ephesians 3, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 9, 17. Look what he says here about this thing, this dispensation given to him. 1 Corinthians 9, 17. He says, if I do this thing willingly, which means his ministry. He's talking about his ministry and doing that. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now he said in Ephesians 3, is a dispensation of the grace of God revealed in a mystery. He says here is a dispensation of the gospel. The mystery of Christ concerns the gospel of Christ. Right? Are we seeing that in 1 Corinthians 9, 17? It's a dispensation of the gospel. In Ephesians 3, he says it's a dispensation according to the mystery. You see that connection? Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 7 and 8. Well, with the dispensation of the gospel, if God has revealed a mystery about the gospel, a secret about how he saves people, good news, what in the world is it? Look in 1 Corinthians 2. Now again, I told you at the beginning of the outline, this is not going to be some great revelation to you. You've heard the gospel, you know the gospel, you already know the mystery of Christ, folks. But the problem is people don't know it by the term the mystery of Christ because they don't know how to rightly divide. They think the same gospel that you believe for salvation is the same thing Jesus taught, the same thing the prophets taught, and it wasn't. It was a secret. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. Look what Paul says here. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. There is again that word. Even the hidden wisdom. That's what a mystery is. It's hidden. And it's the wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So this is something that happened before Genesis 1. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Okay. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Fascinating. So the mystery of Christ, the hidden wisdom, has to do with the gospel. We've seen that in Ephesians 6. We've seen that in 1 Corinthians 9. And 1 Corinthians 2 says, if they had known this mystery, they would not have crucified him. Oh, so apparently they wanted to crucify him for malice. And Paul's talking about the hidden wisdom of God to use his crucifixion for good. Right? So this mystery of Christ, this hidden wisdom, this gospel revealed to Paul, not of Israel, is how God used his crucifixion, used the death of his son, which is a shame for his chosen nation, as the gospel, good news, as salvation to all. Okay? Now, what in the world was Paul speaking? In 1 Corinthians 2, 7, he says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. What was he speaking in a mystery? It had to do with the gospel, had to do with his crucifixion. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. Paul says, I determine not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's preaching Christ crucified. That was the theme of our last seminar, preaching the cross, right? Christ and crucified. What that meant, it's Christ's death for your sins. It's his burial and resurrection for your justification. Christ and crucified. This is the substance of what was revealed to Paul that saves us apart from Israel and their covenant promises. Back up again to chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians. We've seen in 1 Corinthians 9 and chapter 2. We've seen it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 18. Paul says, I determined to know anything, nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the theme verse of our seminar this last year, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Romans 1:16 says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, unto all that believe. Right? So it's not of Israel. Paul's preaching it. It's about the gospel. Okay, we're finding the gospel being Christ and Him crucified. The very gospel you believe for your salvation is the substance of the mystery of Christ revealed to Paul. Let me say it a different way. You would not believe the gospel, the grace of God, had it not been Christ revealed it to Paul first. I don't mean Paul, I mean just revealed it at all first. It was not known before. No one trusted Christ's finished work on the cross in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Nobody trusted what Christ did on the cross for them or would do for them in the Old Testament. Nobody knew about it. When Christ revealed the mystery of Himself, that His death on the cross was the means of salvation to all men without works, without covenants, without Israel, that's our heritage. That's what you believe for salvation. And that's the substance of what we're calling here, what Paul calls the mystery of Christ. The mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ. Okay? It's the very gospel that saves us. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:23. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Why is it a stumbling block to the Jews? I thought salvation was of the Jews in John 4:22. I thought they were God's chosen people. It's a stumbling block because as Paul preaches this, apparently Israel has nothing to do with it. Apparently, their heritage, their covenants, their promises have nothing to do with this. Meaning, here's salvation offered freely to all without covenants. And they're going, wait a minute. We're given the promises. We're God's chosen people. You're sinner Gentiles, right? You see the problem here. The Jews is the stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. What foolishness to say that some guy died and that he rose from the dead and his death saves you? Hello, he's dead, right? But faith in his death and resurrection is what offers you salvation. Okay? The Greeks, it's foolishness. For unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul preaches the hidden wisdom in a ministry. It's the mystery of Christ. It's not of Israel. It was revealed to Paul who preaches it. And he preaches the gospel of Christ, the preaching of the cross. Okay? That was what was kept secret, was the glory of the cross. Now, let's move on a little bit further here. Let's see how far the rabbit hole goes. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You want to turn to Ephesians 3. We'll go here first. The mystery of Christ includes more than just the gospel. This gospel, by the way, that Christ died on the cross for the sins of humanity, He resurrected for eternal life. This is how all men are saved at any time. They just didn't know it. Right? So you're privileged to know what was once a secret thing of God about how He saves people. And you know it in the gospel of Christ. But Ephesians 3, there's another aspect of this that concerns a new thing that God is doing, a new group of people, a new entity, which will have a new dominion. We already know the mystery of Christ is not of Israel. But Ephesians chapter 3, we've been here two times already before, where Paul says that by revelation, verse 3, He made known unto me the mystery. Verse 4, He wants you to read and understand His knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And here's verse 6, what it is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel. You see that? So we have the mystery that Paul writes about in Ephesians 3 of the Gentiles being of the same body, we being fellow heirs of the same body, one body. Okay, so we have number 4. What is the mystery of Christ? It has to do with the one body. That one body, of course, we read elsewhere, of Jew and Gentile. And actually, it says there's neither Jew nor Gentile. All men. One body. We call it the church. Now, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. That if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, right? Old things are passed away, all things become new. There was a time where to be in Christ meant you were in Christ's covenant. You were in the covenant that God made with Israel. You approached God through Christ according to Israel. That's what it meant to be in Christ before. But Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's something else going on. Israel was an old thing. Okay. But the new creature is this thing. Old things are passed away, all things become new. It's this thing that we read about in Ephesians 5:32. Ephesians deals a lot with the mystery. Gather that yet? In Ephesians 5, verse 32. Now, I'm going smack dab to the section where half the books on your shelf talk about, right? Husbands and wives, marriage. But you know, Paul's not talking about husbands and wives and marriage. I said, what? Well, he's not. He's using husband and wife as a picture, an illustration, to communicate to you doctrine about the mystery of Christ. He says in Ephesians 5:32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see that? Ephesians 3, verse 6, he says the mystery is that the Gentiles will be of the same body, one body, a new creature. Ephesians 5:32, it's the church. What happens when husband and wife get married? The two become one. One body, the church, mystery of Christ. You see that? Part of the mystery. The church is a part of the mystery of Christ. To understand who you are in Christ is the mystery of Christ. Before, knowing who you were in Christ meant, I'm a part of Israel. I'm a Gentile, blessing Israel. I'm going to the temple, offering sacrifices, you know. That's what it meant to be in Him. But now, being in Him is being part of the one body. There's a different relationship there. Ephesians 5:32 uses the marriage as an example of it. Okay, as a pattern of it. So we see that the mystery of Christ concerns this church. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. These are the verses that you can sit down and talk with people through to show them what the mystery of Christ is. Colossians 1, 18. Verse 15, this is a great section of Colossians here. Verse 15 says, Christ is the image of the invisible God. Verse 16 says, by Christ all things were created. Verse 17 it says, in Christ is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Verse 18 it says, in Christ is the head of the body, the same body. Ephesians 3 talks about regarding the mystery. The body, the church. You see that? That's why sometimes you hear me say the church, the body of Christ, or the body of Christ church. Right? It's because Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says, He's the head of the body, which means you are the members. There's a Christian song out there talking about that now, and I heard that the first time on the radio. I forget who sings it, about being members of the body. I'm like, that's Paul. We're members of His body. That's our relationship. We're not a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're members of His body. He's the head, Colossians 1, verse 18. Okay, and the body is what? The church. The body is you folks. Okay, the body of Christ, church. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. There's another aspect of this mystery. We've covered that you're not of Israel. It's Christ as He was revealed to Paul. It's concerning the gospel, we've seen already. It's concerning this new creature that those who are saved become a part of, the body of Christ, the church, not Israel. And we learn something else here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 through 11. That regarding the mystery of Christ, saving people by the gospel, the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, putting people into the church, has a consequence. And the consequence is that you reap the riches of Christ. Because it's by grace, because you're part of His body, you now have riches. Ephesians 3, the same chapter we've dealt with, what, four times now already? Verse 7. We read verse 6 earlier that we're of the same body. Verse 7 says, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, this mystery, right, this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So Paul's preaching riches, riches you have in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says you have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The fifth part up here is that there's riches of Christ that have to do with this mystery. You did not have these riches before you understood the gospel. Okay? You do not understand these riches unless you can rightly divide and understand what Paul is telling you about who you are in Christ. You won't get these. In fact, Paul warns people in Colossians 2, don't let people rob you of your riches in Christ by putting you back under the law program. That's what he says in Colossians 2. Everything Paul writes about to the church has to do with one of these things. Either defending his apostleship, or saying you're not Israel, or preaching the gospel, or saying who you are in Christ, or saying don't let people rob you of your riches. This is the message Paul preaches. This is the mystery of Christ. Okay? This is why I said before, this is the most important thing the church can learn. To learn who they are. To learn the true gospel. To learn the riches they have as a result. But Ephesians 3:8, we've seen that he preaches the unsearchable riches of Christ to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The intent of you being saved by the gospel, being put into this church, this heavenly body, and given God's riches through Christ, is that you would be able to rule and reign and have dominion in heavenly places. Ephesians 3, verse 10. To the intent that the heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. You communicate God's wisdom in the mystery, and secret things belong to God, now belong to you, to those in heavenly places who don't know this. Okay? And so you're going to reign and rule with him. That, by the way, is one of the riches of Christ. One of the riches of Christ when he resurrected was that he was given a place of authority in heavenly places to have dominion over heaven and earth. Well, guess what? You be put into Christ, you get that as a riches. You get that authority as well in heavenly places. To make known the privilege of making known what is the mystery of Christ that was not revealed elsewhere in the Scripture. Right? But now is made known unto you, the church. Okay? Ephesians 3, verse 10. So again, we've covered verse by verse, quite frankly, Ephesians chapter 3, explaining here what the mystery of Christ is. You can't read through Ephesians without talking about the mystery. And yet so many people do, and they make the mystery something that it's not. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Start verse 17 and 18 here. Paul has a prayer in Ephesians 1, 15 through 20. In verse 17, he says that he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Now, he prays that, and then he writes five chapters more about it. And he says that you might read and understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. This is not some sit down, let's hope God speaks to me in a vision type of thing. God has revealed it to us in his word. We have it to read and to study. Okay. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. There's things you have to learn when you become a Christian, when you get saved. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So you see, you need, once you get saved by the gospel, you need to know who you are in Christ and what the riches are that you have in him. So you can walk in it. Ephesians 1, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Part of these riches, and some people, and we've done it before, make it a sixth point of this mystery of Christ. I'm getting kind of low here, aren't I? The sixth point is the rulership we have in heavenly places. You can make that one of the riches. And that's just fine because it is. But Paul's here talking about how Christ is raised up to sit in heavenly places, and so are you, right? We've already seen Ephesians 1, verse 10, that it's the will of the Father that all things be brought together in Christ, those things in earth and things in heaven. Well, no one knew about the heavenly things before, and now you do, according to the mystery of Christ. And so, let's summarize here. What is the mystery of Christ? Well, it's Christ preached, not according to Israel. Okay? It's Christ as he was preached, revealed to Paul, Galatians 1. It's the gospel of Christ that saves, that's Christ and him crucified, 1 Corinthians 2:2. The preaching of the cross, the power of God, right? It's that we're the same body. The one body, which Colossians 1 calls the body of Christ, the church. Whatever you want to call it. That's what it is, a new creature. Okay? It's the riches of Christ. Paul says, he gave me an apostleship to make known the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ephesians 1, he prays that you might know the riches of Christ. Well, that's another lesson for another day. You say, what are the riches? That's another lesson. That's what we're covering in Romans 5 and 6, by the way, on Tuesday nights, is some of those riches. But the riches of Christ is part of the mystery. Okay, Israel can only get some of those riches, and they can only get some of them when their covenant's fulfilled in the kingdom. There's some Israel doesn't get, because they're reserved for you, specifically. Okay? And then, of course, the last part that we have on here, the heavenly places. You get to rule and reign with God in glory in heavenly places. Look at Colossians chapter 1, 25. Another popular passage dealing with the mystery. Some commentators who deal with dispensationalists who believe in the mystery of Christ say, now those dispensationalists, they can't find any verses to defend their doctrine of the mystery of Christ. The only verse they have is Ephesians 3, verse 4. It's the only one. We've covered how many verses here today? Where Paul talks about the mystery and dispensation given to him? It's the only thing he talks about in all of his epistles. Okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Here's another place that talks about the mystery of Christ given to Paul. Paul says, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. That's why I said before this is the most important mystery in the Bible. Because what was given to Paul, the dispensation of God given to him, it fulfills the word of God. There's nothing more that needs to be given. Okay. God has revealed his purpose for Israel in prophecy. We've seen in Revelation 10 how he's going to finish that thing out. And now he's revealing how he'll finish it out in heavenly places. And a part of that, he's revealed how he saved all men. Right? By the gospel. But Colossians chapter 1, 26. This thing that was given to Paul to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Well, what's the mystery, Paul? To whom God would make known what is the riches. We've seen the riches. The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Oh, we've seen that too. It's not of Israel. Paul's preaching to Gentiles. Okay. In verse 27, which is Christ in you. Oh, that's the church, right? You're in Christ, Christ in you. The one body, the church, the new creature. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. The hope of glory. Our glory is in heavenly places. Okay, Colossians 1:27 talks about the mystery. There's a lot of aspects to it there. Okay, that's what Paul amplifies, what he explains in all of his epistles. Verse 28, so Paul preaches this, the mystery of Christ, warning every man. What's he warning for? He says, we preach this, warning every man. Where's the warning? We have all spiritual blessings and we're saved by God's grace. Isn't that glory? Where's the warning? The warning is that there are people who will hide it from you. There are people who will steal you from it. Who will try to make you ignorant about it. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this world tries to blind the minds of people so they don't understand, they don't believe what they have now according to the mystery of Christ. Right? And that's what's going on. People are ignorant of the mystery of Christ. They don't rightly divide. They don't understand what you possess. They don't know how to study their Bible. So Paul warns them in teaching every man in all wisdom so that you can be guarded and you can understand these things. So you're not deceived. You're not tricked. You can make decisions on your own about how to behave in this and such situation according to your knowledge of the mystery of Christ, of who Christ made you in him. Okay? And so he says that we may present every man perfect, complete in Christ Jesus. You're complete in him, Colossians 2:10. All right. So this is what the mystery of Christ is. By the way, this mystery was unknown before. We read about in Romans 16:25. It was kept secret since the world began. Right? And it's something new. Now, it's not new for us. It's been here for 2,000 years. And so when you go out there, what you'll find is a mixture of this and Israel, right, together. You say, oh, well, I knew some of those things. That's old hat for me. Well, yeah, well, that's good. That means it's been revealed and you understand it. But maybe you need to learn how to rightly divide this from prophecy, right? Rightly divide this from what's not this. You're not Israel, okay? But it's new compared to Israel's instruction, something different. And so when Paul received it back 2,000 years ago from Christ, it was something new. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. Let's wrap it up here. A point of application. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. Paul says the mystery at that time was being revealed to apostles and prophets. And 1 Corinthians 13 talks about some of those prophets to whom the mystery was being revealed. Before they had Paul's epistles, before the Bible itself was complete, before the mystery had completely been revealed and the church created, 1 Corinthians 13, the Corinthians were speaking prophecies about this mystery, explaining and teaching this. And Paul says this. He says, you know, we don't just preach mystery. We just don't claim to have more knowledge than everyone else. Okay? It's only by God that we can understand these things. We're preaching Christ, and we're preaching Him according to the mystery, but we do it charitably, folks. We do it with a mind to help other people understand it. We're not doing it to sound pretentious and arrogant, like we know something more than you. Right? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2 says, here, though I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, the mysteries, the secret things of God, God has revealed, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, and revealed the mystery of Christ about himself, what he did on the cross for us, And Paul says, though we understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I can remove mountains and have no charity, I am nothing. The mystery of Christ takes you. This is why Paul told the Corinthians that I could not teach you the mystery of Christ completely, because they were carnal. If he told them who they were in Christ, all the riches they had in Christ, and what they're going to do in heavenly places, those carnal Christians would have used that to bash their friends up the head with it. I'm in the third heaven. I don't have to do any of those works. Right? Paul says if you don't have charity, if you don't have that mind, that state of love, that knowing this truth, you want to help other people with it, right? That's going to be wasted on you. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, you are nothing. You're not acting like the ambassador God's made you. What good is it to be rich in Christ if you don't use the riches to help other people understand this, right? Instead of spoiling them on yourself. Okay, so there's a selfishness here. We need to be careful. The point of application, knowing mysteries is insufficient without charity. The reason why God's revealed them to you is not because you're so special. It's because he wants the world to be saved, and you are the members to get that done. So he's equipped you with this knowledge of the gospel and the riches and everything else so you can do that. So you're not hindered by the law program. Right? You're able to do that according to God's grace. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6 says that if you have a charitable mind, you rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. The idea here is not to let you loose and let your old man run into sin, but instead to create people who desire, love, and know and understand the truth. Not iniquity, not sin. This doesn't free you to be more acquainted with that, so you can be equipped to be thoroughly furnished into all good works. 2 Timothy 3:17. Okay? So if we're going to take away something here, it's that preaching the mystery just in itself, preaching that we have knowledge, that we have secret things that we know and you don't, that's not all we do. We preach Jesus Christ. We don't preach Paul. We don't preach a mystery. We preach Christ. We preach him according to the mystery. Right? And we preach the glory of Christ, him crucified. Okay, which is the mystery of Christ. Hopefully that helps you out. Like I said, the tract here is just a summary of that. It's got those five or six points inside there with the verses. So if someone wants to know where in the Bible to talk about this, what is it? Just hand them this. You can have a discussion, a little Bible study over it with the verses in it. And hopefully that clears some things up in your mind. Any questions? Any comments about this?